Hey everyone, how are you? I'm excited to be kicking off this 2019 with a brand new show sponsor. Very excited to welcome Joseph Meyer Club to the show. If you haven't heard about Joseph Meyer Club, head on over to josephmeyerclub.com right now and check it out. This they have a great product, this aftershave that I've been using. And it's really comes in a nice container, and it's got this foaming tip on it, just a little bit in your hand, and it's nice and clean. You know, if you ever used the liquid ones before, you can kind of make a mess, but this is a real clean and really easy to use, and smells awesome too. That's really a nice thing about it. So, let alone is it moisturizing and alcohol based, so it helps heal up your skin if you happen to have any, you know, nicks and stuff, but smells great too. And right now, to let you try it, they're going to let you get 20% off for all my Rock Paper Podcast listeners. So at checkout, mention RPPJMC20 for 20% off. Again, RPPJMC20 at josephmeyerclub.com. And there's always free shipping, so keep that in mind. And yeah, tell them Shane sent you.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. Let me tell you about my friends at Naked Vine, located at 1624 Clarkson Road in Chesterfield, Missouri, serving up all your favorite wine, whiskey, tequila, and local craft beers. Swing by and visit them this weekend, February 1st. One of my personal favorites, Cluster Pluck, is back at Naked Vine. And then on February 2nd, Melody Den will be out there on Saturday night. So, mark your calendar for those shows. Full events and details can be found at nakedvine.net. And mark your calendar also, February 12th, I return to Naked Vine with my singer-songwriter storytelling showcase, bringing along my good friends Ryan Chaney, Matt Hall, and Gabe Stroop. And that'll be a $5 cover, 7 o'clock show. Do not miss out on that one. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. Can't wait to see you guys there. Again, everything at nakedvine.net. Be sure to follow along with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And yeah, get out and support local live music. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the show.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Oh yeah, this is the Macho Man Randy Savage, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast. Check it out at rockpaperpodcast.com. Yeah, dig it!
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Frankie and Jeremy of Shift Films, Graveyard Shift Podcast.
That's right.
Did I get that right?
You did.
I think I got
nailed
it.
Nailed it.
It's the first time ever we've done something in one take.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so excited right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys want to properly introduce yourselves for everyone?
Sure, go ahead.
Oh, me?
Jeremy David King.
I am, I guess, a founder and a partner in Shift Films, and let's see, I'm a Scorpio, and we have so much stuff going on. We do so much different things, but so it's, you know, basically me and Frankie doing the podcast, and we have a pretty large group of people. You know, we're amassing a larger group of people that are involved with us with Shift Films. And anyways, I'm Jeremy. Hi, good to meet you.
Hey, nice to meet you.
And you know, like, I don't know, I'm not good at talking about myself.
That's what we love. It's humble brag, man.
Yeah.
It's good. But so, I'm not.
Yeah, I'm not.
I'm the
or
lion.
You aren't.
So no, I...
We do a bunch of stuff, you know. They kind of, you know, I'm the paranormalist on the team, and best boy grip. Let's not forget that one.
Every film, even if he's not on the film, if you look in the credits, it's one of our Easter eggs. He is the best boy grip. He wasn't even there, I know, but he's the best boy grip always.
You should see it.
Yeah.
Calluses for yards.
That's right. Jeremy's been a huge advocate of the Shift Films production crew. We've branched out. We've done a bunch of different films. So You know, Jeremy's role is usually, he's kind of my sounding board a lot of times. We'll talk about things before we do them and see what his interest is. And then we kind of take a deeper dive into some of the films that we're doing. Sometimes his involvement is 100%. Sometimes it's 50%. Sometimes he's just a line producer. And he's just there to make sure that, you know, everybody has the stuff they need. Set management. A lot of fights ensue on set. Any film guys out there know that there's a lot of different emotions that can be dealt with on set. And over the last couple of years, as we've been doing films, we've learned to really kind of, muscle through those things, but also have set roles. Like, define your roles is the number one thing we would tell people if you're starting out. You know, if you have a director says it, you do it. If you have a problem with it at the break, at the cut, you can talk to the director. Just be like, hey, I like the way we shot that, but I think there's a better way. Whereas before, we'd be in the middle of a shot and people would be like, I hate this.
We'd be
and the actor's like in their thing, and now the actor has to kind of center themselves and like get back into that moment because we're fighting. So we've learned a lot, and Jeremy kind of has been there to support, you know, the staff, but also kind of mitigate those types of things that happen on set. He will be running part of the horror film festival that we're doing right after our other film festival. So he's really involved with that. He is a expert in B horror films, but actually any horror film.
Yeah.
He's probably seen every one of them. And it kind of coincides a lot with Graveyard Shift. Graveyard Shift is the first sponsor. We're actually putting money toward this. We're investing over $5,000 in the horror film festival from Graveyard Shift. So they're the main sponsor. It is a separate entity, even though Shift produces Graveyard Shift, but we're the first sponsor. We're hoping to get Johnny Brooks. We're hoping to get Lemp. Lemp's already on board. Lemp is giving us the Lemp Hall. Dick and Paul Pointer are already, 100% with it. We're going to run it in October, which would be really fun. So that's basically what we do. We do films. We do Film Fest. We have a speaking series called Shift Speaks, which we can get into as well, which will also be done. It's starting this year at Lemp Hall as well. The events are crazy. They are... We're touching and breaching subjects that are coveted, including the Exorcist case that I believe was completely faked, whereas my colleague over here believes it might have been true.
There's possibilities.
There's also the monkey boy mythology
fake.
That Chris Nafziger, actually St. Louis writer Chris Nafziger, actually has written a lot about, did another podcast with us on. And the podcast was so good and so well received on it that we decided to shelve the podcast and actually do a speaking event because it's something people need to hear about the Lemp family. So we have the speaking thing. We have Graveyard Shift. We have the films that we are currently in production on our website, which is shiftfilms.net. You can watch all the trailers for what we're doing. And then there's a link pretty much to everything except Graveyard Shift. That's only on Facebook right now. On... Play Store and
I'm gonna iTunes. Work on it on Instagram today.
Right now as we're talking. Yeah. But that's the serious side
always
of us.
Working. Sure.
Graveyard Shift is kind of like our decompression zone where we offend people and make weird sounds. Hi.
Yeah, I've been really enjoying the show, the podcast, and I've been listening to you guys and it's definitely a bunch of silly stuff on there and it's a good listen, man. It's fun. And then like I don't know. I really enjoy it. Was but also helped being friends with you guys for so long.
Sure.
So it's just, and I don't get to see you guys as often as I'd like. So that's kind of fun to where, through the internet, I can sort of still be involved and everything. I love you guys.
I love you.
Actually, my first concert in Missouri was with you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
A bunch of us hooked up.
Columbia.
We
went to Columbia.
Yeah. We saw The Urge at Columbia.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that
Shakespeare's?
That was the one I almost got in a fight with that guy, right?
Yep.
Dude, you threw that guy like 20 feet.
Yeah. I've been playing football my whole life. I've never seen anybody move like that. And I was like, wow, that guy's far away.
Dude, there's no way you could hit on that chick. It's just, it wasn't physically possible to...
Yeah.
Aesthetics.
That was an interesting experience for sure, man.
Yeah.
I'm not much of a fighter at all, but this guy was thinking I was hitting on his girlfriend or something like that.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. And like, yeah. It got a little heated down there in the mosh pit.
And I was just like, serious, sir. I know you have a small penis, but there's other ways to deal with this.
Yeah.
So, dude, you're not even hitting on your girlfriend. Look at her.
Yeah. He ended up getting thrown out, remember?
Yeah,
he ended up punching somebody else, then getting thrown out.
Yeah, he punched somebody else.
And then that girl went home with somebody else, which I thought was just, wow, the irony.
Yeah.
That's rock and roll, man.
Exactly.
It is.
And that was the Urge that night.
Yeah, the Urge and what?
Unify.
Yeah, man. That was a fun night. Yeah. And Shakespeare's Pizza.
Oh, 100%.
Still got that Meat Lover's Pizza in the trunk.
That actually worked. That actually worked that night.
Yeah.
That actually worked that night.
Yeah, man. I was thinking about that as I was preparing for this. I was just like, man, that was a real good time up there. So we should do a lot more of that.
Sure.
So like I said, we've been buddies for quite a long time, and actually Jeremy's even been on the show in one of the early days talking ghosts and paranormal stuff. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so returning guest. Mm-hmm. And but I thought it'd be fun to kind of like deep dive a little more into you guys starting the podcast, the films, and the film festival and all this stuff. And I guess where was the idea come to that you guys recorded a couple and then you kind of let it sit for a minute and then you kind of revamped it all mm-hmm. to what it is today. So yeah. I guess where does all the podcasting start for you guys though? Like,
so originally we were trying to be a little bit more serious, and our first couple shows are pretty serious. I mean, yeah, and they are good shows. Don't get me wrong. They're shorter. They're a shorter format. They're really good commute shows. We had some audio problems early on with tracking and stuff. You can still listen to it, but now this season is really well improved because our sound engineer from our film company kind of got involved, John Baldwin. So he's like, yeah, just do this. I'm like, really, dude? I'm like, damn. But
it was that easy?
With shows like, you know, Crawl Space and Serial and Aaron Mankey's Lore, there's enough serious stuff out there. And that's not really how me and Jeremy ghost hunt. We, because it is a serious thing and it is an adrenaline sport, and we've said that, like, you need some relief. And comedy is kind of, for us, that way. And sure, it's offensive. We don't mean anybody harm, and we say some really things here, but we're not toxic. We had some really interesting comments, toxic masculinity and all this bullshit. I'm like, you know what? Think what you want to think. Like, the paranormal world and paranormal ghost hunters, like, we're tongue-in-cheek. And we make fun of everybody. We ride everybody.
All of it.
You know, and it's just like, I'm a bisexual male. I get it from him all the time. So it's just like, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, you just have to be tongue in cheek, because some of the stuff that you witness, some of the stuff that you see, man, it can really like move you to believe like, oh, we're beyond the veil now. And just thinking on that and concentrating on that, I think Jeremy can basically talk to that too, because he's seen more than I've experienced more than I. You need some kind of relief. And that's been the new graveyard shift, is like, you know, listen to this when you're commuting on the road. You have an hour.
Yeah.
You can get back to us. We have funny guests. We have feminists. We had a feminist last week on our show. We obviously have two more shows where we have to edit, but it was so good that we're going to kind of spread her out. That's Erin Shield. She's on the Film Fest team. She's also on shift. She's one of our big time event persons. Like, she knows what's up. And, she was on the podcast, and we had a great time. And so,
oh yeah,
we vibe with everybody. And so at the end of the day, the graveyard shift is really the format of, if you were one of me and Jeremy's friends, that's basically the format. Like, you're hanging with us now,
right,
dude. You know, you can fart and burp in front of us. And
yep.
You know what I'm saying? It's going to be great. And it better have a nice after piquant taste, or like his peanut butter farts that just stay and linger.
You
just,
it's like, stick, you could sink your teeth into him.
But if you want to add to that.
I agree. I don't think that, you know, with, you know, I've been ghost hunting a really long time, and I've been with the Paranormal Task Force for 12 years. And, you know, like, there's some really intense shit that happens when you are, you know, out there. You're in this location that, you know, just by time and time again with different groups and different people that don't know each other, going in there and you know, having the same type of experiences. And sometimes those experiences are terrifying. You gotta liven it up. I mean,
right.
Any ghost hunter that says they've never been scared, either they don't ghost hunt or they're a freaking liar. I mean, because I've had things that have scared me so much, it's scared other people. So, you know, I'm not going to say that I'm so brave that nothing scares me, because absolutely things, they give you a quick jump, or
sure,
you go to Ashmore and you don't want to go back inside.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, but yeah, we're definitely
I can attest to that. I mean, even just like when you were sharing some of the stories of some of the stuff with me, like before, like mentioned, you know, even secondhand, it's still like, you know, kind of gives me chills, kind of stuff. You know, it's like, it's just weird to think about some of the experiences that you guys have been a part of and things. So,
well, that's one of the things too that like we were going to talk about because we're doing a show with you and we'll be Jeremy, Frankie, more on that show, like with you and fucking around. But this show, like I wanted to share with you like a story that'll creep out your listeners 100% that deals directly with my family. And I was talking to my dad not too long ago about it, but we had a run-in with the devil. And it would actually send one of my cousins into therapy for years, 20 years, because no one believed her. And it becomes like almost a script that, and that's why when I look at the Exorcist case, when I look at it, like the reason why I'm such a skeptic on it is because my family's actually dealt with it. And that's not how it really works. And to say that, I don't want to give her name away because she didn't want her name said, but she is a famous artist in Virginia. Like she has her own studio and everything like that. And she became something that was incredible. And to this day, when she paints, she signs with the cross at the end of her name because she's never forgotten. And so like we can get into that or, you know, whatever you want to do. If you have more questions for us first, like, but I just wanted to give your audience something like that.
We can get whatever, get into whatever, man. Yeah. Let's, if you want.
So I'm actually going to turn it to Jeremy because I want to give him a little bit of taste and spin on, he's been to the Exorcist house 5 times.
Yeah.
And so if you want to talk a little bit about that for Shane's crew and support. So I think that would be fun for them to kind of.
So it's, you know, it's an unassuming house and, if you know the backstory, the exorcism didn't start there. It didn't start there, and it didn't finish there. So, you know, going into it, I was really like, I don't think there's going to be anything here. You know, it doesn't make sense. But you know, going into the house, it's just a feeling. Like there's a feeling to it. I remember going in the very first time, and there's a crew of probably like 15, 20 people there. You know, some are ghost hunters, some are just working as the crew because we were shooting a documentary the first time I went in. And one of the guys running it's like, who wants to go upstairs and turn off all the lights? And I'm like, I'll do it. No big deal. So I rush up the stairs, and I go into what I know to be the boys' room, and I'm like, So I go into the other room, and I'm like, I'll turn this light off first. And I'm like, So I go back into the boys' room and I turn that light off and I go back into the other room and I'm like, oh, crap. I now got to walk past the boys' room with all the lights off. And, you know, like I'm not afraid of the dark. You know, I do this. I've been doing it a long time. But there was still just a feeling in this place that, you know, you almost can't explain it. You know, you have to experience it. And, you know, some people, they could be standing right next to me and they don't feel it. So I don't know. Maybe I'm more sensitive than I think I am, but I'm not going to cry over a movie. You know what I'm saying? Unless there's a dog.
Right.
You know, I Am Legend, tearjerker.
Every time.
You know, Marley and Me, tearjerker. I don't know. What's one of those movies you watch, Frankie?
I mean, I've never gotten fully through The Exorcist. That's something we need to do before.
Well, that's not what engagement. I'm talking about. I'm talking about like the love letter or something.
Let me tell you something. Those are just as scary. Because love hurts, man. And it's lasting. Love is like that turd that just gets lodged. And you're like, you know what? I don't want to part with you right now.
And you're just rocking.
Right.
Rocking.
And he's holding on to you.
And you're like just about to blow an O-ring out.
But you got
to
think about that turd and why it wants to stay with you. Like constipation is totally it's a misconception. Like as a society, it is. It wants to stay with you. And we're just, what are we doing? We're forcing something out of our life. And this is just not a way. I'm sorry. I told you we'd be not, but it's just hard not to be. Especially around friends.
You know, it's true. And going in there and, you know, we made a documentary with the Booth brothers. And I think right now they've re-edited it and it's called the Exorcist Files. And, you know, my buddy Greg, who is standing against the wall, you know, a big white cross gets burned on his neck. And like it's happening in front of me and other people. There's a thermal imager that's reading over 350 degrees on his neck. And I'm like, you know, it's one of those things. There's like two ways that ghost hunting freaks you out. It's either it's like something just startles you and you're scared, or, you know, you're more often than not, you do something happens. You might argue with people. You're trying to figure out what it is. And then by the time you realize that it was actually something paranormal, you're like, oh my God, I can't sleep now.
Right.
You know, 'cause you're thinking about it the rest of the night. Like, you know, like that was one of them. It's like, oh man, he got a cross burn on his neck. That's freaky. You go home and you're like, oh my God, he got a freaking cross burn on his neck. Did you see that shit? So, I mean, it was like stuff like that. You know, I had an experience where I went, a guy named, Michael Lynch, Dr. Michael Lynch, gave me like this shotgun stock full of IR lights. And I go into the basement and somebody closes the door behind me. I don't close the door. Walks down the steps behind me, talking to me, because there's no lights on. The only thing I can see is holding the shotgun stock. I'm looking through my viewfinder on my camera. And about the point I realize I'm about as far away from the steps as I can get, I turn around and there's nobody there and nobody answers me anymore. And so I'm like, wait a second. Okay, so I move gingerly. You know, you don't really want to run because even if you're scared, you know, you're going to trip over something or fall down steps or up steps or whatever. So I get back up there and he's standing in the kitchen, almost the same place he was when I went down. And I was like, dude, where did you go? And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, you were downstairs with me. You were talking to me and then you left. He's like, I closed the door behind you and I've been up here talking to him the entire time. And I'm like, whoa. But the thing is, the answers are on the tape.
Huh.
Like there's mumbling answers behind me, and I'm like, oh my God,
yeah,
you know. So like, I didn't expect any of that type of stuff to happen there. You know, you go to like Waverly or someplace like that, and you're like, yeah, I expect that, but
yeah.
You know, nobody really died in the house. Mm-hmm. You know, the exorcism didn't start there, it didn't end there. Like, whoa.
And there's a family lives there, right? Like,
yeah,
they still stay in the house.
Yeah. Nick lives there. Huh?
Yeah, and you know, the last I heard, he had a few things happen, but not much.
Right.
But judging by his decor, like, he's, you know, definitely a horror movie fan, and
yeah.
He bought the house because he knew, you know, what it was.
Right.
So, I mean, I remember over his fireplace, there was, like, a Hellraiser poster, and, you know, stuff like that. I think there was a RoboCop picture over the bathroom, and, you know, yeah. Like, he's definitely, like, our genre, you know,
right.
Like, and, you know, knife block that just looks like a bunch of knives going into a dude. I just remember, like, random stuff I would, you know, that he had.
Right.
And I was like, man, this guy could be, like, a good friend of mine. He's got the same kind of wicked sense of humor as I do, so... But yeah, I didn't, you know, just terrifying.
Yeah. When you look at it too from different perspectives, I mean, the younger, what we're now claiming, like the first season of Graveyard Shift, which it's more like serious, more, we had to do some funny stuff, but
yeah.
We do talk a lot about the different haunts. And one of those haunts, of course, is what we always run into is pareidolia. So. Mm-hmm.
Or matrixing is what it's commonly.
When you're inside something that you know is haunted, it your patternization in your brain is already expecting to see something. So a lot of times it's hard for ghost hunters. Like, we would rather not know any stories. We would rather not know anything about the house to have a very fair and good investigation. Like right now, yesterday we were tasked by LEMP to be the first team to actually go into LEMP Hall. They think that there's some stuff in there. And so our team will go in first. And Dick was like, oh, I could tell you all the stories and da-da-da. I'm like, Dick, no, we're not going to. If you guys know Dick Pointer, he's the love of my life.
But, freaking hilarious.
Yeah. So if
great name.
And we're like, dude, I want to hear Little Dick, actually.
Little Dick Pointer.
That's right. I want to hear. And then he has a son named Dick, too. So it's Little or Dick. he's if you've never hung out with him, he's amazing.
He's
speakeasies and
hilarious.
Yeah, but I'm like, hey, dude, want to hear all your stories, but not till after the ghost hunt. And you just have to do that. And even Greg at our meeting yesterday with Paul Pointer was, we're trying to put together. We don't have anything solidified right now, but our at the best guess, we would love to do a LEMP event. It's just there's a lot of logistics involved, and the Pointers are very much on board with it. It's just they're a 7-day business, and we have to kind of fit around that. And so we're working toward it. I can't say that we're close, but I can say that we're closer than any other team based on the respect issue. But we are going to ghost hunt the Lemp Hall. And so just like Exorcist House, right, you have all these preconceived notions of what happened there. Real ghost hunters, real ones, want to go in without any stories.
Yeah, I have no clue what any of the stories are at Lemp Hall.
And Paul actually gave me a key to the building, and he's like, just let us know when you're in.
Whatever, dude.
And he's like, if you can find something, great. Dick thinks that everything they own is haunted, and it makes sense. There's a room that actually our film festival, there's one of our theaters, you know, quasi theaters, right? We're making this film festival happen inclusive. So all the theaters are inside one building. You'll get to see all the films in one building. You don't got to travel everywhere.
Which is an unusual thing for a film festival.
100%. Like Slif has to because they have to share all the screens all around town, and it's tough. So you might not be able to see it. With our festival, we really wanted to focus on getting all our selections in, but also like having these little niche areas to watch films in. And Lemp Hall is such a great, it lends itself to it, because not only are you part of Lemp history, St. Louis history, but also it's allegedly haunted pretty bad.
Yeah.
A lot of the people that own offices there won't work past 5 o'clock when the sun goes down. There's some interesting stories that surround it. I don't know too much. Like I said, don't want to dive into it. But I do know of a newspaper article where there's a room in one of our theaters, which we're not giving the theater away, but there's don't a hatch. There's a hatch in the floor where somebody fell through and died.
I saw the hatch. Yeah. I know where you're talking about.
Yeah. So, dang like...
I know where you're talking... I saw it yesterday. He fell to his death. And I almost pointed it out.
Wasn't like, found because he fell, like, in the stables with the horses. And the horses, they had so many big, huge Clydesdales because Budweiser didn't start the Clydesdales. The Lemps did.
Anheuser-Busch lies.
Lies.
We didn't say that.
No, that was weird.
That was a ghost.
That was a EVP.
Where did that come from?
He's thirsty. Anyway, so like you know, when we get into it, so for my story, right, is an interesting one, and it takes place in Jersey with my two cousins, who are my second cousins, my dad's first cousins, and they went to a Halloween party. So at the first start of this is 1963. And they were walking on their way to this Halloween party on their block. They were basically seniors in high school, and one was first year freshman in college. And they're walking down this street, and this bitter cold wind just hits them. And they're just like, wow, it is so cold outside, and this wind chill is killing us. But they get to the party, and everything's fine. They have a couple drinks. They leave the party together, and it's even the temperatures have dropped even more. And so my one cousin, Winnie, who will talk about it, her sister will not. Their mom was my great Aunt Margaret, and she was my favorite. Like, of anybody in my family, Aunt Margaret was my favorite. And she married Uncle Butch, which was his actual name.
Awesome
name. Everybody called him Butch. I don't never really knew what his birth certificate name was, but he was a navalman, an incredible blackjack player, and backgammon player, which he used to teach me when I was a kid when we go up there for summer vacations. So I know the family very well. So anyway, Winnie and her sister are walking away from this Halloween party, and her sister says, it is so cold out here. If the devil himself pulled up, I would take a ride for my soul. That's how cold it is. And then Winnie's like, you shouldn't say such thing. They're Catholic. You don't say things like that. The neighborhood that they grew up in Jersey was the Stregas. Stregas are Italian witches. And there's a couple in my family. He actually met one. Lori Bruno is familia. She's from the Sforza line, which is just a long lineage of Stregas, witches. And if you do her ancestry, it goes back into one of the most famous astrologers outside of Galileo, who's killed for witchcraft because of his ideas about the solar system. And so down that line. So witchcraft is something that does happen in the Italian line. They're known as the Strega. And so there's a couple in my family. There was one that lived on that block. And they said this right around that area. And Winnie was like, you can't say that. She's like, I'm just playing. They get to the end of the block, and there's a limo waiting for them. This is 1964. They're in the middle of a Jersey suburb. Unless you're mafioso, which is the other side of the block, you don't really see limos. And most mafiosos didn't do that. They don't showcase a lot of their wealth or who they are. They kind of blend. But anyway, they're at the end of the block, and this door opens, and this distinguished gentleman walks out, and he tips his hat to them, and he says, "You guys asked for a ride." To that, they freaked out. They came running home into the door. My Aunt Margaret greeted them and just says, "What happened? What happened? What happened?" And Uncle Butch is like, "Well, it's Halloween. Of course, he probably overheard you at the party or somebody in the yard, and he pulled the car around the other side, and he was just playing a bad prank on you guys. Don't worry about it." Well, days passed, and Winnie didn't really have a problem with it, but my other cousin did. She started seeing this man everywhere, and whether that was a psychological break, and first they went to the priest, and the priest was very concerned. At that time, the Catholic religion was very much coveted in that community, and the devil was no laughing matter. It wasn't a joke. Exorcisms did happen under the Vatican order, which is another reason why I have a problem with the exorcist case, and it was done by Jesuits, but that's a whole other thing that we can get into later if you want. But the thing that happens with my cousin is that she goes to her mom and she's like, "I'm seeing him everywhere, and it feels like he wants to deal with me. He wants to deal with my soul." And Aunt Margaret starts praying. They bring her to the priest. The priest blesses her, and he says, I don't know what you said. I don't know where you said it, but you need to figure out where you were and what happened, because we need to find the root cause. Because if it is a demon, we need to know its name to control it. And if we don't have its name, then it'll haunt you for life. And that is basically the rules, right? There's the law of four, right? It's the form of how you know what an exorcism is. And we're going to get into all this on February 27th in O'Fallon. You'll see it on our web pages. We'll be sharing it soon. It's almost sold out. I think maybe there's 10 seats that remain. But we'll be talking about the entire exorcism and how it works, what it's really supposed to do. Jeremy will get into the actual exorcism that happened here, and then we'll go into the debunking theories. It's a really cool lineup that we have going on. But in this particular case, they knew what the law of four was. And so the priest kept asking her, "Do you feel possessed? Do you feel?" She's like, "No, it's not a possession. It's a haunt." And so the priest is like, "I just need you to pray. I need you to do these things, and I need you to get here Wednesdays and Sundays, and I want you to do the novena, which is every Wednesday night with me," which is basically where they bring out the host. It's a very sacred thing. It's done in 9 prayer sequences. It's a very religious, repetitious prayer, plus rosary. So on top of that, she was doing a lot of her praying. About a week later, nothing happened. And then one night she woke up because she felt like somebody was standing at the edge of her bed, and it was. It was this guy that she had saw in that limo, and he basically put his hands on her railing and looked down at her, and his face was nose to her, and he said, "When you ask for something, you give it, and what I want is your soul." And so he was this distinguished person, and now he was making appearances in the room, and that's when the priest really started getting heavily involved, because at this point the possession is now inside the house, and what some demonologists would consider an attachment has happened, where it's materializing in front of her. And this particular entity and demon would haunt her going on almost 5 years. She would suffer with this, and he would show up in her bedroom. He'd be sitting on the edge of her bed. Sometimes he'd just be rocking in the chair waiting for it. He's like, "I can wait for eternity, but you will turn it over to me." And so she was basically had a psychological break, would end up being in years and years and years of therapy. And then finally, after she graduated college, about 6 years later, she was in and out, off, and she would basically do something in her life which she'd never done. She faced it. She faced up to it, and she basically met it head on. The next day, her dad was really distraught with everything because she was such a talented person, and she still is. But at that point, she was at the lowest point of her life. And when I think about this story a lot, I know them. They're my family. She wouldn't hurt a soul, and she wouldn't lie to anybody. And she actually has a couple U.S. stamps that she's actually painted. Like, she's the real deal. You meet these people sometimes, and sometimes they're afflicted, and they cross beyond the veil, and they say things around the right houses when they shouldn't have said something. And, you know, sometimes things align. And she faces it head on, and she basically tells them, you know, "I'm a child of God. I'm saved with the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing you can do or touch me. You'll never have my soul." And to that, a week went by, 2 weeks went by, and she didn't receive anything. The heaviness was gone. The emptiness was gone. The sadness she felt, was everything was gone. It's like she had really stood up to it and walked away from it. But the Stregas have a couple other rituals that are interesting that would occur a couple days or months after. My Uncle Butch was cleaning out the gutters. And as he was doing it, his ladder lost motion and he almost fell, and then it was caught. And when he looked down, it was the same distinguished gentleman. And he looked up to him, and he looked down at him, and he said, "Good day, sir." And he looked at him, he's like, "Why is this guy with a suit on in my yard, like, you know, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon?" So Butch drops what he was doing, and he goes down, and when he gets down to the staircase, there's a dead rat. And now in the Italian strega, the dead rat means that there was a presence here, and it's dead, like it's gone. And to this day, I mean, Butch has now passed on, and, you know, we miss him greatly. But it's really, you're talking about a guy that fought in World War II and Korea. I mean, he did both jaunts. And he would never, ever not believe his daughter. And he wouldn't talk about it. Well, he did once when it was brought up with Winnie. And he just shook his head and he said, "That's what I saw. Don't know what it was. Don't know if it was a crazy prank. But it did happen." And to this day, like I said, every painting she does, everything in her entire studio has her signature and there's a cross next to it. And it's like she's lived that way her entire life. And I don't think she's ever been afflicted by it at all. We've been trying to get Winnie to do our podcast or do some kind of like documentary on it it would be great to get to Winnie to do something for February 27th, which would be awesome to kind of see real hand accounts. Of course, the other one is Tony Pickman, which you can go into, who's on our team, who's been totally forthcoming with what he's dealt with. He goes to conferences with his wife. And that's the Sally House, of course.
Sally House in Atchison, Kansas. Tony, some of it I won't go back into and, you know, making a long story short. Basically, they moved into this house, this famous house now in Atchison, Kansas, where he was basically, you know, attacked mentally and physically, like all the way back when I was a kid. Man, the best show on TV was a show called Sightings, and it was on Fox, and it was all about paranormal stuff, like sometimes unsolved mysteries.
Fox News,
but it was all like unsolved mysteries, missing persons, and this and that. But Sightings was all like aliens, Bigfoot, and ghosts. And I remember watching this when I was a kid, and they would catch him getting cut on camera. Like you would see a cut appear, and then he'd start bleeding. He's been, you know, the thing that was there would set him on fire, you know, break ribs, throw him across the room. And the things that he, you know, he's been through so much, and now, you know, he's really working with people and helping them. What I can't wrap my head around is how he knows the things that he knows. I mean, I've seen him sit down with somebody I know he doesn't know and like be like, "Hey, so tell me about your dad and what's with wrestling." And they'd be like, "Oh my God, my dad's been dead 5 years. He was a wrestling coach for 30 years. How do you know that?" You know, and then just keep saying things. And he told me this, and it relates to something that they did when they were a kid, and then the tears. And it's so weird. Mm-hmm. Like, one thing he did, we did this event. We do multiple events in Potosi, Missouri. He was in Kansas, and he calls Danny. And he's like, "Danny, I need to talk to this person. I don't know why. I need to talk to this person. Got a person's here at my house, you know, yanking on me." And so they can't find the person. So we kind of have, at midnight, we have a gathering. We eat, you know, snacks. We do a drawing for a raffle. And, you know, Danny asks, "Is this person here?" And she says, "Well, it's my maiden name. I got married just a few weeks back." And, you know, Danny's like, "I need to put you on the phone with this guy." So they put him on the phone with this guy. And Tony's like, "Do you know this guy?" "Yeah, it was her brother who had been killed in a car accident before the wedding happened and had actually bought her the tickets to that event as a wedding present." And wanted to let her know that he was still with her. I mean, you want to talk about some tears,
right?
Like, because this, you know, it was a gift for the wedding. This had only been like maybe a couple of months at the most. I mean, she was bawling. So I mean, I don't know how this guy does it. I love you, Tony.
Tony Pickman is like the realest there is, the real deal. He's conversed with people that, you know, have been dealt with exorcisms and some of the most famous cases. I mean, he knows Lorraine Warren. I mean,
Lorraine speed Warren dial. Was very, very involved with stuff with Tony. Mm-hmm. And you'll know her from the Conjuring movies.
Yeah.
Because me and you went and saw that, didn't we?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, we saw that together.
So the team has a PTF, once again, is not part of it's not a shift production. It's part of something that me and Jeremy do. We promote it because our events sell out within anywhere from hours to a week. Like, our events sell up really quick.
Almost all of them sell out really quick.
And that's
quick.
Paranormal Task Force. You can see that on Facebook. We're actually doing the website right now. But we are shiftfilms.net is adding the Graveyard Shift podcast content. We're not doing any streaming from our website, but we will be selling three books. And those books, of course, are two of Stephen Walker's books. We don't make any money off this, just the author does. And we're also selling Tony and Deborah Pickman's book, The Sally House. We'll be selling that on our website. And so you can pick up this book about the Sally House. You can pick up all the hauntings. And then, of course, Lemp, A Haunted History by Stephen Walker, the most famous Lemp book there is.
That's the book that got me into ghost hunting.
Yeah. And then he has the...
Literally.
Yeah. And then he has the other book, Ghost Among Us, which is a really cool... His latest book.
Has Frankie in it.
Yes. There's actually another story of me and the Ouija board, which if anybody knows me, I don't go near him. I did one time, and I knew the address of where I grew up, because that's the thing that like people don't understand is like, yeah, it's funny to poke fun at it, but even the strongest guys, you know, we all know them. They hang out at Bobby's place, the douchebags. They spend 16, 16 hours in the gym to look good for the other guys in the
Affliction
bar.
T-shirts.
Yeah, because women don't really give a shit about that. But, you know, and the women that do, you shouldn't marry them or take them home to mom. But, you know, you have these guys that think they're so brave and stuff. Let me tell you something. When they're alone in their house and they've done one of our events and stuff like that, I can almost guarantee you that 9 out of 10 of them has a light on. Because attachments are real. The dark is real. As sure as you're living right now, it's real. And, you know, a lot of people say the old cliche thing, you know, the best trick Dev ever played was proving he didn't exist. Here's the thing. He doesn't have to prove anything. It exists. It's around you as sure as you're alive and breathing. Just look yourself in the mirror and really start questioning who you are as a person. I guarantee you'll freak yourself out. Like, why am I here? What am I doing? All these questions. And so Beyond the Veil and guys that do this, I mean, there's TSS, which is another paranormal group out here. We're going to actually do a podcast with them. They finally reached out with us. And there's a bunch of people that talk a lot about them. And so... What I would say is that you should, if you are skeptical, you should come to an event.
Yeah,
that's absolutely. Who we want there. Mm-hmm. I mean, we always get our graduating class is what I call them. Yeah. Same people. We high five them. I'm like, man, when are you just going to join the team, bro?
Yeah.
You know, it is a nonprofit. You know, so it's a nonprofit Missouri, not federally. So we don't make any money. All the money goes to historic preservation. So once again, it's like.
I mean, we're topping somewhere near, you know, we got to be creeping up on $80,000
that we've raised
over the years.
Nice. You know? Yep. Yeah, we built a beautiful
the cabin at Potosi.
Restored that to a fault, and it's gorgeous.
When you keep going back to the same places and you see like, oh, there used to not be a wall there, and now there's a wall.
Yeah, and
it's great.
Yeah, and St. Louis is just a. It's a great city. In county, too. Like, just St. Louis in general. St. Louis County, St. Louis City.
My county boy.
County boys. You know, whether it's West County or, you know. It lends something to someone. And Shift Films and what we're trying to do, what we're trying to build, is that gap. I may not agree with everybody, and I might not be liked by everybody. But at the end of the day, the one thing that I have in common with the people that even I don't agree with or don't like me, I love our city. And the things that we're doing are for this city. You know, we lost a great festival in Lufest, and you know, and those guys got like eaten out and just totally beaten up all over the place. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I don't know them, and I know that a lot of people were put out, and I feel sorry for those businesses. But what I would say to that is like they tried to do something. They gambled and they failed. They lost. But at the end of the day, for the moments that they did have those festivals, and I think I was at one a couple years ago, some of the best memories I've ever had were at a Lou Fest. And so, like, I am really, like I said, I am sad for the businesses that lost out. But the one thing that I love about St. Louis is that it is resilient. Like, those businesses didn't go out of business.
Right.
Yeah, Schlafly lost a little money on a label, which is actually now a collector's item if you have a Lou Fest beer can that, you know,
right.
People are collecting them now, which I think is... That's what we're
do. We're a beer town. Right. Why wouldn't you collect that?
That's St. Louis. We're resilient in its own right. And, like, we find a way to make things work. And so, like I said, I don't know them. I don't have any affiliations with them. We have the Benton Park Film Festival, which we're doing very differently. Like, it's Paul Pointer's money, it's Shift Film's money, and we're doing this for St. Louis. We're doing this because there is a creative vibe within Illinois and Missouri that exists. And there is some incredible, incredible talent in our streets. And we necessarily, sometimes, even those creatives that I'm speaking to right now that listen to this podcast, musicians, they hide from it. They hide from, you know, putting themselves out there because they don't want to get ridiculed or they don't want to get exposure like that. Like, it's a lot of do-it-yourself stuff, and we respect that. At the same time, St. Louis needs a festival that can recognize not only international films, but also films from all over the country where they can come home for, you know, a $25 ticket. For 2 days, they can have a great time at the Lemp Hall, maybe find a ghost, which kind of correlates with whatever we do.
That would be fun.
That would be fun. So you might not even see a horror film. You might have an experience there with something paranormal.
Right.
While at the same time, like, what we're trying to do with Graveyard Shift and Shift Films is show another side of St. Louis. I think we get beaten up with the news, too. Like, yes, we have our racial problems and we have our racial divide. Yes, we do. Every city does, believe it or not. I mean, I grew up in South Florida. We have it. We understand it. At the same time, if we're not doing anything to solve those problems, then we're just adding to the conversation.
You're just complaining.
In a negative way.
Yeah.
Where if you have solutions, and so our solutions is not to join the noise, but to give you guys something else to think about, like film, like podcast, like music, like artist. And if you can do that, you can kind of get away from the white noise that is online. I mean, it is important. Don't get me wrong. But the whole validation thing, the whole, like, you know, I need to be validated, my monetary gain is likes, that needs to go away.
Right.
Like, you know, it's great to have exposure.
That's the only way I feel good about myself. Right.
It is true. But, you know, at the same time, I mean, not to get on a soapbox or be political, it's just like this city has a lot to offer. And we hope that in our first year, and we're going to make mistakes, and I'm sure we're going to get banter from people that's like, oh, I should have done this way. And great. Like, we're going to welcome feedback because we want to make this film festival something that St. Louis can be proud of.
Every mistake
is
a chance for improvement.
Exactly. It's our measurement of success, right? I mean, you have to fail in areas. I mean, that's how I've been successful in the businesses I've had. I know what I've done wrong. I know when I've lost money. I know when I've spent too much money. But at the end of the day, our goals and our intent is good. And if your intent is good, then regardless of how the turnout is, that's what matters the most. Is like if you put yourself out there and, you know, whether it's ghost hunting or doing a podcast or being a musician or being the first time playing out, which is incredibly nerve-wracking for musicians, but also just being an artist and putting your artwork out there for the first time in a gallery or putting your film out there to get ridiculed and chilled. I mean, and we know a lot about that. Finishing a film is probably the hardest thing any artist can actually do. I mean, we can paint a canvas and we can have it and we can have something about it, and part of that is looking at it and saying, wow, this is what I get from it. And artists love that, right? Part of looking and going to art galleries and is becoming part of the art and what that emotion evokes. In film, you have so many different players and so many different things can go wrong. You could shoot a beautiful film, have a terrible colorist, and the edit's wrong. The sound can be off and the film is beautiful and now no one wants to watch it because they can't hear it. Hundreds of things can go wrong.
Your best boy grip could have not gripped best.
So many people like are involved in a film and it takes so much to do it. So that's what's really good about our film festival also, is that, like, you're going to get to see that, right? You're going to get to see, like, what those finished products is. And we've posted this everywhere. We don't care if you shot on Red. We don't care if you shot on Sony or iPhone. We're looking for storytellers. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we have a lot of selections out of Missouri and Springfield. company called Lock and Stash are killing it. They've gotten two selections already from us. Illinois has been doing bringing some game, Kentucky, Indiana. And then internationally, we have over 57 countries represented in our film festival.
There's so many impressive films.
It's insane.
So many impressive.
It's just going to be a hell of a weekend and a really cheap price to enjoy everything. There will be full liquor, full five bars, because you know St. Louis, we love a drink. But we also have
drinking.
Yeah, and we also have.
You're going to have food. They're going to. Yep. No, it's not going to be provided.
No.
I mean, you're going to have to pay for it.
Yeah, you're paying for liquor and food.
Because we're paying, the ticket price is really your entry and I think popcorn and water.
Yeah, exactly. Bring away free popcorn. There's
you
gonna be some
could
merch.
Eat a buttload of popcorn.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can get to meet me and Jeremy, too. And maybe we'll have you on our show if you like Ghost.
Yeah.
There we go.
Only. Or Jeeps.
Yeah. So that's what we're doing in St. Louis. And we're hoping to collab a lot with people. So
yeah, so March 29th and 30th, Benton Park Film Festival. Find all information at bpfilmfestival.com. Is that right?
It's bpfilmfest.org.
Oh, .org. All right.
Yeah. And we're also on Facebook at Benton Park Film Festival.
We're an organization.
Yeah. Right. So get involved. And what you mentioned, all the speaking engagements coming up too. So we have the February 27th and that'll be what, O'Fallon, you said?
That's in O'Fallon.
Is that Middledorf Library?
Yeah.
I've spoken there before for PTF many moons ago.
That's the Illinois side?
No, it's O'Fallon, Missouri
side. How about you?
All right. Yeah.
Come see me.
My neighborhood. Yeah.
I'll go shirtless.
All right. Now we're in.
We have that one. Yep. We have that one coming up. And
it's on the record, too. So you have to.
Yeah. Hey. Well, I can't tell if I'm more entertained by his man boobs or his speech. How deep is that belly button?
Shane can crush you. Shane will crush you.
April 11th, you said you also have another one.
It's TBD right now, but right now the date that looks hot is April 11th. That's at Lemp Hall. We're going to start doing all our speaking engagements in the city because the city has been like, why aren't you guys doing anything in the city? And I'm like, we are. We're just trying to, basically, we're putting ourselves out there to see if people draw. Our first one is actually with Chris Nassiger, who's a St. Louis Magazine writer, and we're actually going to do an entire hour and 15 minutes on the Monkey Boy. We're trying to put this to rest. And there are so many different haunts at Lent Mansion. He's not one of them, and we can prove it.
And that's honestly, I mean, the funny thing is that, without giving away every detail of how this all started, I mean, this was me, Frankie, and my wife walking down Main Street, St. Charles, talking about how, we can debunk these fake stories about the Lent Mansion, because so many people are talking about the stupid Monkey Boy. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing. There was an actual monkey.
Yeah. So you'll hear all about that. That is actually a paid festival, but once again, not a festival. It's a paid event. It's about an hour and 45 minutes. We'll have a bar, beer and wine, light fare. You'll get to meet me and Chris and the shift crew. It's a beautiful interactive presentation. You'll also get to see, which is really cool, you'll get to see the LEMP film that we're working on, that we've been working on for 5 years. You'll get to see exclusive clips from that film that nobody else has seen. So you'll get to see some real live evidence. We'll be there to speak about that a little bit too, about Elsa, our love, the whole reason why
this is going on.
And so everything's kind of like a part of our universe. So even the Benton Park Film Festival is the best of festival is the Elsie, which is named after Elsa Lemp. It's right behind me. It's the bronze statue. So if you want to take a picture of that before you leave.
All right.
She's hot.
Yeah, it's a Art Nouveau piece. She was born in 1883. She loved theater. She loved everything. So the major award that we give out at the best of. So that's all 60 selected things get into that mix. That's international, local, and every state that entered. It all comes down to the best of. And that actual trophy gets plaqued with the name, and it stays at the Lent Mansion. And they can see because that's part of our partner. So
it
stays with
the Stanley Cup.
Basically, yeah.
You can't drink milk out of it.
A lot of fun, Shane.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you guys are definitely keeping busy. we got a lot of things happening.
That's the things we're doing together.
Right.
We do things separately, too.
Yep.
Yeah. I
Well, you can, so again, in shiftfilms.net for we'll have all the dates and tickets and all that stuff. So check out the websites, get involved on the Facebook page. You can find Graveyard Shift on podcast on the Facebook page as well. Instagram coming soon.
So yeah. Graveyard Shift will be there. And yeah, everything's pretty much online. And like, we have organic, we're growing it organically. We're not going to buy for likes.
Yeah.
We want actual people.
You know, we enjoy the Russian bots. You know, I enjoy their sex proposals and the private messages, but
collusion.
You know, like, you know, I think my wife frowns on it.
Well, I this has been so much fun, man. I really appreciate you guys sharing these stories. Again, click subscribe on the podcast for more stories and shenanigans, because there's definitely lots
we
of...
We do some shenanigans. Yeah.
And you're going to be a part of one in about 15 minutes here. We have a special guest for you, Shane.
Oh.
It's a cherry chocolate milk stout from our favorite brewery, Four
Hands all over me.
Basically, you know, like, the brewery is based on, like, you know, they have a genetic disorder.
Well, that's what Slapley likes to say, because Slapley talks shit about Four Hands all the time. But we all know that it's about his family, and it's a great... Kevin Limp is an incredible brewer.
I love them all.
Yeah. Everything they put out is awesome. I'm like, I've never had a bad beer from Four Hands.
No,
honestly. I'm like, stop brewing angels. Stop.
I haven't had a bad beer from Schlafly either.
That's true. That's true.
Man, that pumpkin stout.
Pumpkin was good.
Yeah, that was this year. Yeah, you told me you were like,
you can only get it one. Like, they put one inside a six pack. It's a really cool promotion they did. They had a, after Lou Fest, it was...
Lou Fest. We went to Lou Fest one time. We saw cake.
Yeah. Yeah, I love cake.
Were you there when me, Sarah, and Jermaine were... Yeah, I think we saw you at the one that had Outkast, too.
Yeah, I was there. Yeah, I've been there.
Hey,
to several of them.
Hey,
it's always a pretty good.
I'm a karate.
I think it's gonna rain outside from your Native American song right there.
there was a judo chop there.
Okay, you got all the cultures offending everyone in one foul swoop.
Sorry, Outkast.
Yeah.
Sorry, Andre. Sorry, Andre. 5,000.
Andre 6,000.
He's older now.
All right.
Nice bow tie. Cool.
Well, thank you guys for doing this, and hopefully we'll do it again real soon.
Thank you. We'll add you to our Facebook page so people can subscribe. I mean,
jackpot.
Also, like, awesome to you, man. Like, you're 700 so driven.
700 episodes?
Yeah.
Jesus. Like, almost.
So impressive.
Creeping up there.
Because I think I'm like episode like 31. I don't even know.
Yeah.
It was pretty early.
Definitely back in the day.
Because Chris was still on the show back then.
Yeah, I think it was that day. It was me, you, Chris, and Colby.
Colby,
yeah.
Colby has since moved to the Lake of the Ozarks. He's teaching down there.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's closer to us to hunt ghosts.
Ghost. Yeah, but he's so busy.
You got to come on a ghost hunt with us,
dude. Oh yeah.
And you know what? We got to bring out some of our camera. You know, why don't you do this? Why don't you handpick one of the musicians that you like the most and you have a really good relationship with, and we're going to take them on a ghost hunt with us. We'll go to Lemp Hall together.
We'll scare each other.
Yeah. We'll find some monkey boys.
There you go.
What if we actually see the ghost of a monkey?
Yeah, we're the monkeys, and it's a monkey boy band. What?
People say we're monkeying around.
So we don't know how to end shows, so you might have to cut us off.
We just go until people stop listening.
Right.
Well, Frankie, it's been 3 hours. Should we quit yet? I don't know. I think somebody's still listening. And it's a podcast, for Christ's sakes. Yeah,
we do have some reviews on Facebook right now.
You guys suck. You should kill yourself. That's what they told us.
It says, the critics have spoken. This is the shittiest podcast, but somehow I learned about a ghost. Raves the New Times. I don't understand how they are on the air, but if you want offensive ghost hunters that know what's beyond the veil, check them out. New York City Times.
They want to build a wall around our podcast.
All right. Well, thanks, Shane.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
We love you, dude.
Love you, guys. Bye, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.